If you could turn with me in your Bibles once again to Galatians, that portion which we read a few moments ago, Galatians chapter 6. And for this evening's meeting, my sermon title, message title, is simply Sowing and Reaping. And the verses I want to consider with you this evening are verses 7 and 8. And we'll read them again. Paul writing to the churches at Galatia, he says in Galatians chapter 6 and the verse number 7, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." And in our meeting tonight, we will be considering the law of the harvest. The law of the harvest. You know, each and every one of us in our lives, we all have decisions to make. Decisions about where we will go, decisions about what we will do, decisions about who we will meet or who we won't meet. And each and every one of us here has our own decisions to make about these different circumstances and situations. Every decision which we make will bring a consequence of some description, whether we like it or not. And the Apostle Paul here, writing to the churches at Galatia, in this last chapter of this epistle, he writes to them with some instructions for which they were to heed. For the churches at Galatia sadly had been infiltrated by men known as Judaizers, men who sought to take the church away, take the people away from the truth and the simplicity of the gospel. Now, we know the Apostle Paul was a mighty theologian and a mighty preacher of the Word of God. And he sets forth the great doctrine of justification. In other words, that doctrine of how a sinner can be right in the sight of God. And he sets that forth very plainly and clearly in the book of Romans. But in the book of Galatians here, he has to write to the churches to defend that doctrine. Because these Judaizers who had come into the church, they had sought to get the people away from the message of the gospel, that we are saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. And that's why we are justified as sinners in God's sight. And these men wanted to get the people into bondage by having them to submit to the claims of the Jewish ceremonial law. And that is why Paul has to write to the churches here, and particularly in these two verses, which we want to consider for a few moments this evening, where he speaks about not being deceived. He speaks as well about whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. And so as we consider this message tonight, the law of the harvest, the first thought I want to bring to you tonight is this: the warning to the sower. The warning to the sower. You will notice with me in verse number 7 that Paul says here, "Be not deceived." Be not deceived. And in considering this topic today, we notice that Paul warns the believers at Galatia not to be deceived. And we could also say that today. I could also say it to your heart tonight from this pulpit, from the Word of God. Be not deceived, men and women and young people, tonight. These words, "be not deceived," they signify to be caused to go astray, to wander, to roam about, which is a negative and not a positive thing. You see, as these Judaizers had infiltrated the churches at that time, they sought to deceive the people, to take them away from the truth. You see, these were not men of God at all. But these were children of the devil, children of wrath. And they were doing their father's bidding. For we know that in Genesis chapter 3, if you turn back with me to Genesis 3, I'm sure we've turned to this verse many times, but it's good to be reminded of it. As these men sought to deceive the people in the churches at Galatia, they were acting just as their father, the devil, acted in Genesis 3 and verse 4. "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And there we see that the devil had came along in the form of a serpent to Eve, and he sought to twist the word of God, that very clear direction, that very clear commandment which Adam and Eve had received in the garden, that they were not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But yet what did the devil do? He sought to twist the word of God. He sought to cause doubt in Eve's heart about the word of God. And that's what these men were doing in the days of Paul writing to the churches at Galatia. These men sought to deceive their hearers. They sought to glory in the fact that they could get people to be circumcised rather than simply putting their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. You know, the Bible tells us that the devil, he is the father of lies. John chapter 8 and verse 44. And as John 10 and 10 records for us, he seeks to kill and he seeks to destroy precious souls. He wants to damn as many souls as he can with him in hell for all eternity. And that is why he seeks to go about. And while God is truth, and while Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, the devil is the total opposite. While God is true and absolute truth, the devil, on the other hand, is totally opposed to the truth. He wants to destroy the truth. He wants to undermine the truth. He wants to undermine the simplicity of the gospel. He wants to hinder souls coming and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ today. Let me say, whenever people turn away from God's word, which is the only true word that we have today, that word which we can rely upon, which the many promises and warnings in it we can take as cast iron guarantees, because God will never say something and break his word. But just as men and women seek to turn away from the truth of God's word today, and perhaps they will listen to the views and opinions of their fellow men, which is totally contrary to Scripture, then they will certainly be deceived. Men like Richard Dawkins, a very intellectual and bright man, but yet a man who hates God, a man who hates the Word of God, a man who wants to spend his life trying to prove that God does not exist, but yet a man who hates God, a man who hates the claims of the gospel and the atoning sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is it people would rather listen to this man, an intellectual man, a man with degrees, a man with education, and yet they want to reject the Word of God, the one who permitted them to be born into this world, the one who gives them their physical and their temporal needs, and yet they don't want God, they don't want his truth, they don't want his word. You see, man can be deceived. It's very easy to deceive somebody. It's very easy to deceive your fellow men and women. But let me tell you tonight, you may think you can deceive men and women, and perhaps you can, but you will not deceive God tonight. For Paul says here, be not deceived. God is not mocked. And that's something that needs to be thundered out in our land once again. Thundered out in the very highest places in our land of political office. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And what are we reaping tonight in Northern Ireland? We are reaping the promotion of the killing of the little unborn children. We are reaping the promotion of something which is not marriage. We are reaping the potential for euthanasia to be brought into our land. We are reaping the very fact that men are trying to say it's okay to be a sodomite. Men are trying to say it's all right to be transgender. And while I do not hate those people who identify that way, I must stand firm upon the word of God and call what is sin in the Bible sin, and not to be afraid or ashamed, because we stand for the preaching of the word of God. And we're not ashamed of what God's word says. And we want to be faithful to your soul and to the souls of the men and women in our province, which we love so much. You see, there's much confusion upon these things today. Why? Because people have departed from the word of God. Churches have departed from the word of God. There is only two genders. There is either male or female. There is nothing else. And yet, what is the cry from our world tonight? There's multitudes. You can choose this and you can change that, and that is utter nonsense. It is confusion. It is lies from the devil himself. seeking to distort and to destroy and to mar what God has made. Remember, God made Adam and Eve in the garden. Remember, he made all the animals. And what did he say after he had made every individual thing? And God saw that it was good. And the devil can't take that, and he wants to destroy it. He wants to damn your soul in hell, my friend, if you're not a Christian tonight. That is why he is up and about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Oh, don't be a prey for the devil tonight. Don't depart from the word of God. Heed what the word of God says. Not what I say, but what the word of God says. Because that is the only word which we have and which we need tonight. You know, the verb Paul uses here in verse number 7, be not deceived. That simply means to sneer with the nostrils drawn up in contempt. And how man wants to, he's in contempt to the word of God. He hates it. It calls him a sinner, and he doesn't like to be told he's a sinner, but that's the truth. That's not the words of this preacher tonight, but that's the word of God. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. That's me, that's you tonight. And while we are sinners bound for a lost, Christless eternity in hell, there is still time that you can come. Come now, come and repent. Come and believe the gospel. That's why we're here tonight. If there was no salvation for the whosoever, well, what would be the point of us being here? What would be the point of seeking to preach? But we preach Christ crucified because he lived and died and rose again. And he's alive forevermore. And he's coming back again. And God will not be mocked. God will not be deceived by the puny efforts and the schemes of man. Neither can God be imposed upon, nor can he be mocked. And every man will be rewarded according to his own works. Notice there, verse number 5. For every man shall bear his own burden. And you see, God knew that when this letter would be received, that Paul was seeking to defend the truth of the doctrine of justification by faith. And whatever the response of the people would be to this letter, whether in agreement or disagreement, well, that was up to them. But Paul, being the servant of God, he sought to remind them, he sought to instruct them and to teach them the truth and to bring them back to the truth. Why? Because he loved them, he cared for them, he wanted to prosper, he wanted the churches to grow and to multiply, for many more to be brought in within their ranks as sinners saved by grace, to worship God in spirit and in truth. And yet that's why the devil was seeking to deceive the people through this custom of circumcision, to get them away from the truth and simplicity of the word of God. And that is why, men and women tonight and young people, we must test everything we hear by the word of God. It is our only rule of faith and practice. The Bible says, test the spirits to see whether they be of God or not. And that's something I fear is very much lacking in our land. We must test what we hear by the word of God and rest upon the word of God. If they speak not according to the law and to the testament, it is because there is no light in them. There is no light in them Judaizers, because they told lies. They did not preach the word of God. And any person which seeks to say that you'll get into heaven by being a good person, you'll get into heaven this the way you are, they're a liar. And the truth is not in them. But we've noticed the warning to the sower tonight. Notice secondly with me the sowing of the sower. Verse number 7 again. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. We see here that there is a seed that must be sown. There is a seed that must be sown. You see, the Apostle Paul here, as a servant of the Lord, he went forth and he sowed the good seed of the word of God. The psalmist spoke of this seed as being precious. If you turn with me to Psalm 126. Psalm 126. It's a very adequate description of this seed, the seed of the word of God. And the psalmist here in Psalm 126, in the verse number 6, he says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now, if you have a margin in your Bible, you will see there that it says, or seed basket. But we can say tonight that the word of God is precious. Why is that? Because it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the hymn writer said in those that hymn he wrote, Jesus, my Savior, is precious to me. Precious to me, precious is he. Jesus shall ever be precious to me. Can I ask you tonight, is he precious to you? Is the Lord Jesus Christ precious to you? What does he mean to you tonight? Is he just some religious man who claimed to be God? Or is he your Savior tonight, the one in whom you have turned from your sins, the one in whom you are trusting and relying upon for what he's done for our souls at the cross, that his work of salvation was sufficient to save the vilest offender, to save those who feel that there is no hope for them? Oh yes, there's hope for you tonight. There is cleansing in the precious blood of Christ tonight. There is his righteousness which you can receive if you will come to him tonight. And just as the Apostle Paul went forth to sow the good seed of the Word of God, that's what we seek to do. That's what we're seeking to try and Bible College to learn how to do better. That seed which can bring forth salvation in the lives of sinners. And here Paul, again thinking of the agricultural theme here, he uses a metaphor. Now, if you need to know what a metaphor is, just like I needed to ask what it was, it is a figure of speech that, for rhetorical effect, it directly refers to one thing by mentioning another. So I hope I've explained that well enough for you to understand. But in other words here, I might have actually referred to this inadvertently this morning in my message, but you know the way the farmer, he goes out, and he, perhaps if he's going to sow barley, he will take his equipment and he will get the barley seed and he will go and plant the barley seed. And that's what he will reap in a number of months' time. And just as he will go and he will sow the barley, he is not going to reap grass. He's not going to reap oats. And so Paul applies here this principle of what you sow is what you're going to reap. As sure as a man will sow a seed, he will reap a harvest from whatever that seed is which he has sown. Now, if a man sows sparingly, if he's a bit tight with the seed, then he's not going to reap much of a harvest. But yet, if he sows bountifully, he will reap a bountiful harvest. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, please. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. And we're turning to verse number 6 of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And again, Paul, being the writer here, he's writing to the church at Corinth. And he explains this. He says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And there we see that Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, he applies this, he explains this, that if you're wanting to reap a good harvest, you're going to have to sow bountifully. But if you're going to sow sparingly, if you're going to be tight in what you're going to sow, then you're not going to reap very much at all. And as we know that great promise that the Lord gave to Noah as he came out of the ark, it's on that pallet in the foyer of your church, Genesis 8:22. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. And as we look out onto our land tonight, we see that in the goodness and the mercy of God today, the farmer and the gardener, they are still reaping from the seeds which they have sown into the ground. You see, God sends the weather which is necessary for that seed to germinate and to produce a harvest. I do wonder about some farmers at times, or gardeners, those who hate God and the things of God, and how they go and they sow their grass seed or their barley seed or whatever it may be, and they just expect the weather to come, And they just expect that harvest to be gathered in a number of months' time. And yet they never think to ask God for the weather. They never think to thank God for the weather which God sent for that harvest to be gathered in. How many good things has the Lord given to you, dear friend, and you fail to thank him for them? You know, there's so many things that God has blessed us with. And even if you're not a Christian here tonight, and here you're in the house of God, and yes, you could be sitting under a far better preacher than me, but you're hearing the word of God, and God is speaking to you tonight once more. What if this was the last time? That you need to be saved, that you should not be deceived, that God is not mocked, and whatever you're going to sow is what you will certainly reap. You see, this is God, his gracious act to all mankind. For in seeking to provide for his own dear people, God sends the sunshine to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends the rain on the just and on the unjust, so that we would have a harvest, so that we would have food to eat, and all of our temporal needs met. When we consider the sowing of a seed here, let me ask you again, what sort of a seed are you sowing tonight? Because whatever you're sowing, you're going to reap some day soon. That very question, and its importance for you tonight, you must ask yourself. Don't worry about other people around about you. Ask this of yourself tonight. What sort of a seed am I sowing tonight? What am I going to reap? For each and every one of us will reap someday very soon. And then Paul goes on to say here about the two types of seed in the next verse, which is what I want to consider lastly with you. There is, thirdly and finally, the harvest reaped by the sower. Verse number 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And here we see in the first instance that Paul spoke of sowing to the flesh. Now perhaps you're asking to yourself, well, what's Paul talking about here? What does he mean when he says sowing to the flesh? Well, remember, Paul is writing to Christians here. He is writing to those who are associated with the churches at Galatia. And he is speaking to them about sowing to their old sinful nature. You see, they have been saved by grace, those Christians. And they have forsaken the old nature, and they have received a new nature from the Lord. But yet we know as believers here tonight that there is a daily battle between the old man and the new man, between the flesh and the spirit in our lives. And if we are sowing to the flesh, then we are feeding the flesh and we're not feeling the spirit. If we are engaging in things which are not godly and wholesome, well then we are feeding the flesh. We are sowing to the flesh. And even in the gospel context tonight, if you're in the meeting and you're not a Christian, well, then you're living for yourself. You're living for the sinful pleasures of this world. And let me tell you, I know there's pleasure in sin, but it's only for a season. And soon, it'll end just like that. Perhaps you're in the meeting tonight and you're sick of your sin and you want to break free from your sin, but you can't break free on your own strength or on your own power. But let me comfort you and let me encourage you, because the Lord Jesus Christ said in John's Gospel chapter 8 and the verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. If you want freedom from sin tonight, come to Christ. Confess your sin, repent, turn away from it, and trust in him tonight, and you can be set free from your sin. If we turn back to chapter 5 of Galatians chapter 5, and Paul writing there, he says in verse 19 of chapter 5, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And there's a long list of things which Paul mentions, which come from sowing to the flesh. And those are very solemn words there at the end of verse 21. They which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And if you are sowing to the flesh tonight, unsaved person in the meeting, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. And that is why, dear believer, tonight, yes, it's true, we cannot lose our salvation. But if we sow to the flesh, we will mar our testimony. We will bring dishonor and mockery to our lovely Savior's name. And that is why we must be on our guard. That is why we must seek with the help of the Lord not to sow, not to feed the old sinful nature which wars against our new man, the Holy Spirit in our lives. See, Paul says here back in chapter 6, verse number 8, he says that those who sow to the flesh shall reap corruption. What is he talking about here? What is this corruption he's talking about? Well, that word speaks about moral decay, eternal misery, in other words, in hell. And that's where the sinner will end up, in rejecting Christ. Eternal misery and eternal ruin in hell. And yet, believer, tonight, let this be a warning to us that we would not sow to the old sinful nature, because that corruption will mar our testimony. And yes, there is mercy and there is forgiveness with the Lord. Yes, that is very true. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. But let me tell you, our testimonies won't be the same as they were before. And that's why we must be careful. But not only does Paul speak of sowing to the flesh, but he also speaks here of sowing to the Spirit. So you're either going to sow to the flesh or sow to the Spirit. This speaks of allowing him, the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. This sowing to the Spirit, speaks of allowing him to have his way in our lives. Paul states that those who sow to the Spirit, what are they going to reap? They shall reap life everlasting. And isn't this in total contrast to sowing to the flesh? Now, if we look back at chapter 5 of Galatians, and verse number 22, the fruits of the Spirit, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And here we see that the fruits of the Spirit, what comes from sowing to the Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our lives and to lead us and to guide us, what's going to come of that? There will be love. There will be joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, and all those other things. And those come from allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. Those come from submitting ourselves to the Holy Spirit, asking him to come and to fill us afresh with himself. But we see here that sowing to the Spirit results in three quick things. I just want to notice them with you quickly. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9, please. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 9. And the first thing we notice here, that those who sow to the Spirit, they will bear the image of the heavenly. Chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, verse 49. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. So if we sow to the Spirit, we will be image bearers of the heavenly. We will be an image bearer of Christ. Secondly, if we turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and the verse 21. we see here in Philippians 3:21, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And there we see in Philippians 3:21 that we would be conformed to the physical body of Christ's glory. And there again is thinking of being an image bearer and being conformed unto him. But lastly, let us see in 1 John chapter 3 in the verse 2, please. 1 John 3 and verse 2. And in 1 John 3 and verse 2, it says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And lastly there, we will see Christ as he is. We will have that new glorified body because of sowing to the Spirit, because we are in Christ and saved by his grace. So to conclude this evening, do you see the contrast here between those who sow to the flesh, the sinful nature, and those who sow to the Spirit? Which leads me to ask you, are you living for self and sin, or are you living for the Saviour? Sowing to the flesh, living for self and sin, will lead you one way to a lost sinner's hell, whereas the other way, the other road, will lead you to eternal life in heaven. Oh, that every one of us in this meeting tonight, that we would, as it were, seek to be sowing to the Spirit, and that we will reap a great spiritual harvest. Oh, that you would keep sowing the gospel seed, dear believer, and living for him. And sinners, I close my message. I urge upon you in these final moments to come and to cease sowing to the flesh and repent of your sin and trust in Christ and begin to sow in the Spirit, to the Spirit of God. We've thought about the law of the harvest tonight. We've thought about the warning to the sower. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Then we have seen the sowing by the sower. Those who sow to the flesh or those who sow to the Spirit. And then we have seen the harvest reaped by the sower. That they who sow to the flesh will reap corruption. But those who reap the sow to the Spirit, they shall reap life everlasting. And that's the wonderful message of the gospel as I close, that there is eternal life for every sinner in this meeting and every sinner in our province. If they will come, there is mercy, there is grace with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And there's none other I want to point you to tonight than to him, who is able to save you and to keep you and to preserve you until that day when he will come or when he will call. And let me urge upon you to cease from sowing to the flesh and cease from trying to be to mock God and to deceive God. You will not mock God. You will not deceive him. And cease from turning away and rejecting the word of God. But oh, come and take God at his word tonight. And oh, dear child of God, keep going on with him. Keep sowing to the Spirit. And one day we will reap life everlasting because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.